Good afternoon, and welcome to Remember When. It's all about the people and events that brought us to where we are today. And it's sponsored by the Maritime Museum of British Columbia. I'm Glenn Parfitt, filling in for Susan Woods, who's currently running for city council in the upcoming election on November the 15th. Wish Susan all the luck in her run for council. For more information about what Susan's up to, you can always see her website online at www.susanwoodsforvictoria.com and read about her her stand on the issues and what her plans are should she be elected to city council of our beautiful city. Feeling good today for Susan. It's kind of fun. We're doing a few different things as we have over the last few weeks. I'll be here until, like I say, the 15th of November, and then Susan will be back. But I always like to do this day in history when I'm on filling in for Susan. So a couple of items for you today. In 1952, that famous murder mystery play by Agatha Christie, Mousetrap, opened in London's West End at the St. Martin's Theatre. And the play, still running to this day, has run a record-breaking 23,074 performances and still running to this day. And that started in 1952. So that's a 56-year run. Don't we all wish there was plays that could do that? And 44 years ago today, the British invasion of music came when the Rolling Stones were on the Ed Sullivan Show. And, of course, the clean-cut Beatles were on beforehand, and the Stones were considered the absolute opposite and became popular to their different style and the content of their music and their anti-establishment look. So 44 years today ago today, you would have been watching Ed Sullivan and seeing the Rolling Stones play. So we have a guest in the studio today. His name is Barry Rankin. I'll be introducing him in a couple of minutes. We'll be talking about the history of auto racing in Victoria and where it all began. Also, the history of automobiles in Victoria to a degree, and I'm going to start off with a bit about that. The first place you could actually buy a car in Victoria, for those of you that don't know, was around the 1900s. I think 1899 was when they sold their first one, and it was actually Thomas Plimley Limited. Now, for those who have the living memory of Plimley Motors at the corner of Vancouver and Yates Street, that was not its original location. It was originally located a little further up towards James Bay, the corner of Government Superior Street. It's now a provincial government building, but that's where it was originally located. It was originally started as a bicycle shop in 1893, and then it moved down to its new location in the 1900s. So a little bit of history about that and where it all started. And where to buy a car. And they were freaking available in Victoria. I had to go all the way down almost to James Bay to pick one up. He is a member of the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame, and he's been involved around auto racing since the mid-1950s. I want to welcome in the studio today my guest, Barry Rankin. Hey, Barry.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Now, you've got quite a history yourself of auto racing, as well as knowing about the history of auto racing, but let's go back a bit to where it all began. Now, in my earliest recollections of stories that I've been told and pictures that I've seen, it seems as though the original racetrack for automobiles would have been the Willows Park racetrack. Is that about right?
Yes, it was the Willows Park. I have some pictures here in a book I wrote in the 70s, but last Saturday night at the Victoria Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony, where racer Dave Cooper was inducted into the Victoria Sports Hall of Fame, they had some old pictures at the Willows, and it looks like some of them are back into the teens. I've got some here from the 30s with a big old grandstand in the background. I think it probably burnt down sometime in the 30s. But
it wasn't long after that.
Yeah. Some of these cars, they were tough-looking race cars. There was not much to them.
So Dave Cooper, did he race on this track?
Not at this track, no. No, that'd be a little bit before his time. These pictures are here in the 30s, but there is some Victoria drivers in these pictures. Phil Foster, who I believe was related to Billy Foster, had a garage on Fernwood Street. Bert Sutton, another Victoria guy, and a guy named Johnny Wright, who just passed away a few years ago, is pictured in here in an old four-cylinder car with wire wheels. It's a horrible-looking old thing. He raced midgets at Western Speedway and Langford Speedway and lived to quite a ripe old age.
We're going to talk more about Western Speedway and the scene out there. But in these days back at the Willows Park Raceway, I mean, safety sort of wasn't even really thought about at that point. This is pretty rugged, like racing at its earliest form.
You look at the guy sitting in these cars, they're real rigid-looking things. There is one good car in this picture. It's a Gilmore Special out of Seattle, but it's a good-looking race car. But if you went over in one of these things, there's a pretty good chance you're going to die.
Oh, jeez. And do they have safety belts in these things? I mean, there's obviously no roll cages in these.
Sometimes they used to sit on a blanket and wrap it around them. Sometimes they sat on a rope and tied it in a knot.
God, that's rugged. And they did that out there till about the 1930s, I guess, something like that.
I don't really think safety got real strong till probably well into the 50s.
Sure. Well, the track burned down in the late 30s, early 40s. So at that point, where was racing when this was gone, or had another track already began in another part of town?
Well, there was Lankford Speedway that was operating in the 30s. I don't know when it was built. It's a little bit before my time, but I've seen lots of pictures of it. There again, we saw some last Saturday night, the Hall of Fame induction. Lankford operated for quite a while. It really came into its heyday after the war when Bruce Passmore ran it of Speedway Motors. They put a lot of drivers out of there. A lot of drivers came up from Seattle, Washington. They used to come up on the CBR ferry. They had big crowds at Lankford Speedway. It eventually closed down in the late 40s. The land was expropriated to build the Ruth King Elementary School,
which is still there to this day.
Still there today.
Wow. So there's been more than just Western Speedway. For those who don't know the history of racing in Victoria, it's quite interesting. And DeBerry had mentioned, too, about the Victoria Sports Hall of Fame last weekend. He talked about Dave Cooper going in. And there's also a Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame that you're a member of. And we're going to probably talk about that a little bit more after the break. He'll be celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame. So that'll be interesting to find out more about that. We're going to go to a break. And if you've got any questions for my guests or stories you want to share, please give us a call at 250-386-1161 on your cell or at star 1070. We'll pick up the charges. So we're going to go to break. A little bit of drive-in music for you. And we'll be right back.
Imagine your next event held in an 1889 courtroom at the Maritime Museum. The courtroom, complete with judge's bench, prisoner's dock, and witness stand, for groups of up to 75 people. The reading room with a nautical flair is available for up to 15 people. And the entire museum is available for stand-up receptions, business meetings, lectures, seminars, and small private dinner parties. For information, call 385-4222, extension 102.
If you're a Mercedes-Benz owner or simply a fan of the brand, you're invited to the 6th annual garage sale at Three Point Motors today, 9 till 5. Get there for great one-day-only garage sale cars marked at auction prices. Spare parts, tires, accessories at below cost. Mercedes Smart Collectibles offered at the best prices of the year. Enter to win one of 10 $25 gift certificates. Get into the great garage sale atmosphere with some of the nicest people and cars. That's today at Three Point Motors, Government at Hillside.
CFAX 1070 presents the CFAX Lucky Canuck. Listen carefully to the Canucks broadcast for the announced Lucky Canuck. Remember that name. Then listen to me, Al Farabee, the next weekday morning at 6:50. A qualifying caller to correctly identify the Lucky Canuck, and you'll win a gift certificate from Smoke and Bones Cook Shack in Langford. And you'll get into the grand prize draw for a Vancouver Canucks getaway, including a combination and return airfare from Harbor Air Seaplanes. It's the Lucky Canuck from Smoke and Bones Cook Shack and CFAX 1070.
Al Farabee and the CFAX 1070 wake-up team.
We want to have a morning show with the most comprehensive local information. I think we do that, and do it in a concise manner, too, because we know you have a lot of things going on in your morning, so we want to make sure that what we say is laid out for you that makes sense to you. We want to talk about the things that you like to talk about, and you know what? We like to have a little bit of fun along the way. That's what we're all about.
Al Farabee and the CFAX 1070 wake-up team. Weekday mornings 5 to 8 on CFAX 1070. If it's news, if it's topical, if it's controversial, it's Joe Easingwood and the CFAX Newsline. Weekday morning starting at 8:22 on CFAX 70.
If you ever plan to motor west, take my way, the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Parfitt, sitting in for Susan Woods. And today we're talking about the history of auto racing in Victoria with Barry Rankin. He's a member of the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame. If you want to join our conversation or have any comments or stories you want to share, you can give us a call. Our phone lines are open at 6-1161. Don't forget that 250 prefix in front of it. And if you're on your cell, give us a call, star 1070. We'll pay the charges. But remember, if you're on your cell, do not be driving. Please pull over and give us a call. We don't want to have any accidents out there. So just before we went to break, we were talking about the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame, and it's now coming up in its 25th year. Barry, you're a member of the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame. Tell us a bit about it, how it was created, and what plans there are for the big celebration this year, the silver anniversary.
Well, there's not a lot of sports Victoria that have their own Hall of Fame. There's auto racing. I believe maybe rugby has a Hall of Fame. This was started up years ago by Ross Rocket and Norm Wilcox and a few of the racers from Western Speedway. It's going to come into its 25th year. They've inducted people every year. And, yes, I was inducted a few years ago, and it's a nice honor. There's builders, drivers, owners, mechanics in there. They have a induction ceremony every year that's open to the public. It's usually in February, right after the Daytona 500. It's usually out in Langford. They have a lot of memorabilia on display. The people that run it have done a wonderful job. There's old trophies, a lot of old pictures, and of course we have some books in here with the old pictures, but there's quite a history here with, well, I guess four or five different racetracks on the South Island. There's a lot of history in auto racing. A lot of people don't realize how far back it goes, and it's still going strong.
Well, if you want to know more about the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame, of course, you can log on to their website. That's at www.victoriaautoracinghalloffame.com. I've been lucky enough to be at the celebration for about the last 4 or 5 years, and Barry hit the nail on the head. It's a real classy event. It pays tribute to some wonderful drivers and some wonderful things that have been done in auto racing over the years of Victoria, and it's just a great event. So log on to their website, find out when that exactly the date's going to be, and get yourself some tickets and learn a little bit more about auto racing in Victoria. Now, Barry, we were talking earlier about some old tracks. We talked about the one that was up at DeRuth King Elementary, but there used to be a real, real rugged track for a very short period of time in behind the Wanda, where it's now the Wanda Fuca Rec Center. Tell us about that one.
Dave Cooper was talking a little bit about that last Saturday at the Hall of Fame induction. I do remember the race there. It was a mile and an eighth horse race track. It was a horrible old thing, dust, dirt. They charged to get in. People sat on the bank. Dave had raced there. A guy named Bob Simpson hit a tree at the end straightaway. It was so dirty and dusty. It's down where the playing fields are now. I don't know how many races they ran there, but there wasn't very many. But there was a little bit of a lull, too, when this was in the 60s. But there was also Shearing Speedway at Cobble Hill, because there was a lull between Langford and before Western Speedway got built. There was no racetrack in Victoria. The guys had to go over the Malahat for a while to race at this track near the gravel pit in Cobble Hill. And, of course, getting over the Malahat in those days was a chore.
Well, so that now racing was up there. There was also a quarter mile track up there, was there not, later years up at Cobble Hill? Was that connected to it, or was that a totally separate area where that was?
There was a quarter mile track at Cobble Hill. We used to go do some drag racing on the old Bamberton Cement Hall Road. It was a private road at Bamberton. That was in the early 60s. A quarter milers car club ran that. That went for a while. We used to do that on the Sundays, and then I believe there was a proper NHRA sanctioned drag strip, I think it was Van Isle Dragway, that was built up there, and that did go for a few years. And of course, there is a short drag strip now at Western Speedway.
Right, and that's an eighth of a mile, isn't it?
It's barely an eighth of a mile, but it it does create a good racing facility for the group that's out there. They have high school drags; they do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk more about the old Langford Speedway and what that was like. Now, that was a dirt track, was it?
No, Langford was paved. It was the first paved track in Western Canada. We're not sure if it was the first paved track in Canada or not, but they used to have a lot of cars come up. A lot of cars come from Seattle. They raced sprint cars and midgets, and of course back then, no case. We saw a lot of pictures from there last Saturday night with Dave Cooper's old cars, and there again, they were horrible old looking things. There was no roll cages in those days. Langford Speedway had a big fence around it with billboards on it. Lots of guys went through the billboards and came back in town sometimes, but I don't know if anybody got seriously hurt out there, but It was a good racetrack. It was very popular. A lot of drivers used to come up from Seattle, Washington, and come up CPR Ferry and race here on Saturday night.
And now who locally that we'd known, you know, racers that would have been of some notoriety that would have raced there over the years?
Well, there was Dave Cooper. There was, the Spaldings. There was Digger Caldwell, quite a well-known guy. I lived between here and Seattle. Great storyteller. I don't know too many others in that because you're going back into the 40s. There's a fair bit of history around, but not a lot. The history was very well kept once we got into Western Speedway. I'm not sure. I don't think Billy Foster would have raced there. He would have been too young. And it was tough traveling in those days. If you were here on the island, there wasn't a lot of ways off. There was quite a track to come up from Seattle to race here.
Now, how long other tracks up the island that there were around in the 40s that you can recall? Was there anything going on at Campbell River in those days that you're aware of, or was there anything up Nanaimo way or things like that?
Nanaimo opened a speedway called Grandview Bowl, I believe, in the late 50s. We raced up there through the 60s. Then that closed because it was basically in the city of Nanaimo. It was up on Bowen Road. Then Cassidy Speedway opened as a dirt track, but they ran into some political problems. It closed down. There's still a speedway operating at between Campbell River and Courtney near Miracle Beach, Saratoga Speedway. It's still going. And there's a speedway in Port Hardy that operates as well. But the problem is the speedways, the land becomes valuable. A lot of racetracks have closed. And the problem is with the speedway, you only operate maybe 30 Saturday nights a year, so it's tough to build a new one. It's expensive operation.
Yeah, you betcha, because certainly a hard sledding in the snow out there trying to do a race, that's for sure. Now, we're moving along here from Langford Speedway, and let's talk about the beginning of Western Speedway then for a bit, if we can. Where did it come from? Who started it? Who sort of was the driving forces behind it? Tell us a bit how that came to be.
Well, Andy Cotton and his brother and some friends, Andy's brother George, they decided they needed a racetrack down here. It was down the end of Millstream Road, and there wasn't much out in Langford those days, and there wasn't much down Millstream Road, but they carved this place out, started building it. Dave Cooper was involved in the building. Of course, he was a local plumber in Victoria, and it was about 60 acres Andy had down there. He logged the land, built the racetrack. It was dirt, and I read the program this year at Western Speed. There was no pavement to race on, just loose, rut-filled dirt, and it was rut. There was rock stumps. There's pictures of cars in these books we've got. There's wheels falling off. They rolled over, but it opened in May of 1954, and they had some great racing there. They used to fill the grandstands in those early years. I was fortunate enough to go there in 1955. Our neighbor, three or four houses up the street, was Dave Cooper, who was champion four out of the first 5 years at the Speedway. And that's how a lot of people got to go to the races. You had a friend, a relative, or a neighbor, and that still happens today. And Dave Cooper, of course, was inducted last Saturday, and I believe he's in his late 80s and still going strong.
So it was dirt-filled track when they first started out there. How long did it take before they put the pavement in?
They put the pavement in 1957. It was 3 years as dirt. They raced stock cars. It was a real strong class. They raced what they called big cars. They were sprint cars, again, with no roll cages on. The stock car class was real popular. There was guys like Dave Cooper. There was Dick Varley, Jerry Sylvester, Pussycat Sylvester. Dick Willoughby rolled over so many times he put roller skates on the roof of the car. Billy Foster got his start out there. There was guys like Lamont Brooks, Phil Lambrick. Digger O'Dell was another one. Still comes down to the Hall of Fame from Euculid every year.
And how old's Digger O'Dell? He's been doing it for a while.
These guys are in their late 80s.
Yeah. And they're still around. That's
still
just fantastic.
Around. They come and support it. We have a Hall of Fame night at the track each night where we welcome these people to the Speedway. They're welcome to come any night. Daryl Midgley, who is the promoter at the track, gives everybody in the Hall of Fame free admission to the track.
That's it. So once you're in the Hall of Fame, you're it. That's it. You're in the sport for life, as you probably already are by the time you hit the Hall of Fame anyway. So, well, we're going to go to break. We're talking about auto racing with Barry Rankin, member of the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame, and the history of auto racing in Victoria and driving around in Victoria. So we're going to go to a break here in a few minutes, but I think we're going to need to do some trivia here. So I think I've got a trivia question I think we can do. We've got an oil change and lube courtesy of our friends at Alpine Transmission and Auto Repair. So for those that follow the car business and follow the car industry back in Victoria in the late 60s and I think into the 70s, there was a local promoter at the track who also owned a car dealership. And the car dealership was the Victoria's AMC dealership of the day. So if you can guess who was involved with Western Speedways, one of the promoters also ran the AMC car dealership in the 60s and 70s, give us a call, 386-1161. You can win yourself an oil change and lube, courtesy of our friends at Alpine Transmission Auto Repair, corner of Mill Stream and Station Avenue out in Langford. And we're going to go to our break right now, but we're going to take you out with a little bit more racing.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes. Giddy up, 409. For I knew there would be a time. Giddy up, 409. When I would buy a brand new 409. Nothing can touch my 409, 409. Ooh, giddy up, giddy up. Ooh, giddy up, giddy up. Ooh, giddy up, giddy up.
Hi, I'm Susan Woods, your candidate for Victoria City Council. I feel passionate about our city and want to help shape the future for a strong, diversified economy and as a reflection of our character and civic pride. As a progressive-thinking, nonpartisan candidate, I ask for your vote on November 15th, and I'll return your support with hard work and accountable representation. Check out my website for more details about Vision for Victoria, SusanWoodsForVictoria.com. Thank you.
Authorized by the Registered Agent for Susan Woods.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Al Farabee and CFAX 1070. We are on location here today at Target Self Storage. This is Victoria's Trusted Storage Specialist as their grand opening celebrations continue. And I'll tell you where we are. We are at 505 Tolmie Lane. That's just off Dublin between Douglas and Burnside. I'll tell you, one of the great things that they're doing here today is dedicating a percentage of proceeds going to our place. And the Reverend Al Tissick is here today. And this is another great day to be here.
Certainly glad to be here. Target is owned by a Victorian and offering some proceeds to our place. And come on down and see this new fantastic building. Great offer is going on right now. Buy three storage units and get the fourth one free. So come on down and take a look this afternoon on this beautiful afternoon.
Yeah, you want to come on down and see us here today and see exactly what they have to offer. Maybe it's something where you're selling your home and you need to get rid of the clutter. Maybe you're doing some downsizing. Or maybe it's just time as you get set for winter to get that storage moving right now. If you need the storage supplies and boxes, they have it as well. Why don't you see what's all here and happening today as grand opening celebrations continue? We're on location at Target Self Storage. We're at 505 Tolmie Lane, just off Dublin, between Douglas and Burnside.
When it's time to choose, come home to Highgate. Highgate Ledge is a great place to call home.
We chose Highgate because of location. It was a smaller building and also the fact that it was a secure building and the staff are very well trained in dealing with any situations that would arise with him after having a stroke.
I'm Linda Bishop. I would be delighted to give you a tour of our home. Call 472-0077 to book your personal tour. Highgate Lodge on Cedar Hill Crossroad. Come home to Highgate.
From gossip around the water cooler to issues around the world, talk it over with Terry Spence, weekdays 11 to noon on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Parfitt sitting in for Susan Woods. And today we're talking about the history of auto racing in Victoria with Barry Rankin from the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame. Just before we went to break, we had a little trivia question. We asked our listeners if anybody could tell us who the name of the person or the name of the dealership that sold AMC vehicles in the late 60s and early 70s in Victoria. We'll go to our caller, Gord. Line. Hey, Gord, how you doing?
I was just going to guess... Reg Midgley?
Reg Midgley Motors, you're absolutely correct. Good call, Gord. We've got a a oil change and lube courtesy of Alpine Transmission Auto Repair for you. Do you ever go out to the track, Gord, watch racing?
I used to a lot.
Yeah, what did you have any great? Any memories? Do you have any memories of going out to the track?
Well, the first time I went out, way back, we hitched it midsummer, 85 degrees.
Yeah, because it would be a fair distance.
Memory.
Yeah. Oh, well, you had a good time when you were out there?
Oh, certainly.
Excellent. Okay, Gord, we're going to put you on hold, and congratulations to Gord for winning our trivia prize. Yes, Reg Midgley Motors. They were on Oak Street. If I'm correct. Is that right, Barry? Or?
On Oak Street and Cloverdale. Cloverdale was the first lot, actually, 736 Cloverdale, right on the corner of Douglas and Cloverdale, and then eventually over on Oak Street with the Jeep dealership. Yes, Reg Midgley took over American Motors from Plumley's, actually. It changed from Rambler to American Motors. Reg was one of the people instrumental in getting Billy Foster to Indianapolis. Reg was the promoter at the track for several years. He's actually the promoter twice through the 60s and 70s. His son Daryl is now the promoter at the track, so it's quite a well-known name in Victoria. His brothers raced NASCAR cars. Reg is still around. I think he just had a birthday here a couple of weeks ago, and of course he's in our Hall of Fame, and he's also in the Victoria Sports Hall of Fame. Quite a well-known name here in Victoria, and if it wasn't for people like Reg and Jeff Van Trite, people like that, racing wouldn't be here now.
Yeah, but they were also involved in a lot of sports, too. I noticed this year at the Shamrocks Wall of Fame that they have at the Bear Mountain Arena, I saw Reg Midgley being inducted in there as well, too. So he's been involved with just sports all over the place since he's been here.
Yes, Reg and I got involved with the Shamrocks, I believe it was 1980. I'm still involved. Reg was a president, instrumental in probably saving the teams. And so the Shamrock's another longtime thing in Victoria that Reg was involved with. He owned a hockey team. He owned the Nanaimo Clippers for a little while, involved with the golf tournament. Reg has been involved with a lot of things in Victoria.
Well, it's good we have people like Reg in our community that are still involved and still around, and it's good to see him when he gets out from time to time at these public events. So back to Western Speedway and the beginning of Western Speedway and the driving out there. How many different classes of racing were there? Was it just stock cars at the very beginning out there, or were there, because I know there's a variety of different things now, we'll get into that in a bit, but what was it just, tell us what it was like as far as the style of racing and the different classes.
Well, when I went in 1955, I was young boy. There were stock car classes that my dad liked to go to, and there was big cars, and we didn't go to the big cars because my dad didn't like them. But they were the cars with no cages. There's a couple on the front of this book here, and the name that keeps coming up, of course, is Dave Cooper. He drove in both of those classes. They raced on the pavement and on the dirt. There was big fields of cars in those days. There was a lot of cars. They ran a shorter season than we do now. I think they used to open in mid-May and wind up probably around Labor Day weekend. It was fairly cheap to get in, there was 19 events held, for instance, in 1955. 23,000 people attended in 1955. It was $1.25 for adults. Students were 50 cents to get in back in those years.
And they were averaging, by the sounds of it, about 2,000 a timeout if there's 19 of them, about 20,000 people. So that's quite an event out there.
Yeah, the seating capacity was 3,500. First race on May 22nd, 1954, a big car race, paid attendance, 2,700 fans. The track record was 2,330 by Bob Simpson. Finished second to Del Fanning.
Now, recently, I'm pretty sure it's recently, they replaced the original PA system out at Western Speedway. I'm sure it was there from the absolute start. It disintegrated in the technicians' hands as they took it down from the top of the poles. But the announcers that were out there, there were some great announcers that were out there, and you've got a story about how they would get the information from the race down to the radio station after the race was done. Tell us a bit about some of the announcers and how they got the live action from the track and got it down and broadcast it on the radio station. Give us that story.
Well, at Lankford Speedway, as the story goes, I don't know who the announcer was. One of the early announcers was Pink Foster, but I don't believe it was him at Lankford Speedway. But they had a machine out there that would make a record of the main event. And when the race was over, they had a guy ready to go on a motorcycle outside the track, and he would take the motorcycle, and off he went to town with the record into the old station. I guess it was the original station in Victoria, not around any longer, CJVI, and they would play the main event because racing was big in those days, and of course into town was the old highway along Craig Flower Road. There is even a race car that ran that route one day.
So a race car ran that route. Tell us that story, would you, Barry?
Well, in the 40s, and I get National Speed Sport News, the great racing paper put out by Chris Economaki, and lo and behold, the story was in National Speed Sport News, and I did verify it with one of the Newtons. Car came up from Seattle, and they raced at the track Saturday night. They had to rob some parts off the tow truck to fix the race car, and I guess they party all night, and it's time to go back, and there's nothing to tow the race car with, so the guy fired up the car and headed into town, and of course, into town in those days was Craig Flower Road and down Douglas Street, hightailing to the fair with the cops on his tail. I couldn't find the paper to tell who the driver was, but hightailed it into town and down to the CPR ferry dock and made the ferry as the ramp was going up with the cops on his tail. Great story.
Try
to do that nowadays.
A lot of fun stuff. That's just, of course, those are the days when things were a little more like the Wild West, and you could look at getting away with that type of stuff. But the different classes of racing that have come into being now, when did, sprint start showing up? When did they start doing modifieds, that sort of thing? Tell us a bit about those classes of racing at the track.
Modifieds came in the early 60s, and one of the original good drivers, of course, was Billy Foster. They started an association, and Reg was a big part of this, called the Canadian-American Modified Racing Association. Cars came up from Oregon. One of the cars that stands out, I remember, was owned by Art Sugai, the Pink Lady, drove by Kenny Hamilton. Cars out of Boise, Idaho, came up. Lewiston, Idaho, all throughout the Northwest, from Vancouver as well. And that circuit was very strong. One of the top drivers was a fellow out of Denver, Colorado, Jim Malloy. You might remember the Red Roadster that he drove. And some of these guys went on to race at Indianapolis. But the Canadian American Modified Racing Association circuit was very popular, very well known, and produced some great drivers. And it was nothing to see. A great collection of drivers here from all over the Pacific Northwest. It was great racing, and that was the start for a few of the guys. You might have two or three races a year. In fact, Jeff Vantrite put up one of the most famous racing trophies in the Northwest. He put the Daffodil Cup up. The Daffodil Cup, we still run for today. Billy Foster, of course, was a winner of that. The Strawberry Cup was put up by Jeff Vantrite as well. And those were quite famous trophies that the drivers raced for. And then Billy Foster went on to Indianapolis. But those classes of cars still run today. And what we have out there, of course, today are the real super fast winged rail walk sprint cars. But these modifieds were the forerunner of those cars.
Wow. Now, demos. Demo racing. When did that come into being? And there's people that really race and take real pride in racing. And then there's the demo guys, and they take pride in the racing as well too, but in a little different way. And they go out there and try to knock each other off. That's been a really, really popular time there at Western Speedway. The demo races have been one of those things that just seems to take off more and more. My understanding is the last demo race of this season that you had trucks pulling campers and trailers, and they were banging into one another and leaving parts of trailers and sinks and toilets and everything laying all over the track. Good thing it was the last race of the season. But where did all this start, and what sort of got that idea going of demoing cars as a racing concept?
Well, we needed more classes. You couldn't run the same class every Saturday night. Demos came on the season. One of the guys that got it going was a guy named Gary Madden. Keith Cahill's involved at the early start. Probably came on the scene in the 70s, popular all through the 80s and 90s. They're good entertainment. The true race fan probably doesn't like them, but you got to pay the bills. They're an exciting class. If you come out to the Speedway and watch the demos, you'll notice the Hansons. We had what we called boat races. We've tried to be innovative this year with different things. They hook a boat on behind a car, 16, 17-foot runabout, tow it around, last car running with a piece of boat. as the winner. You're right. We closed the season a couple of weeks ago with a trailer race, chained a trailer on the back, and the people were standing up during. They just love it. Those are big events. If it's a nice night, they sell out.
Well, I think, you know, that as a lot of sports have had to do over the years, they've had to evolve, becoming more entertainment as well as the sport itself, the sport being the core part, but the entertainment component being brought in just to sort of add to it. And I can see that out at the track, that certainly come into being with the demo races. We're going to go to a break here in a minute. But if you got any questions for my guests or stories to share, you can give us a call. We're at 250-386-1161 on your cell. In fact, let's do one more trivia before we go to break, and then you can give us a call in at 386-1161 and see if you've got the answer. We're going to make this one real easy, but you have to listen to what I'm going to say. So here it goes. Who was the first Victorian to race at the Indianapolis 500? Give us your answer. 250-386-1161 on your cell, or if you're on your cell, star 1070, we'll pay the charges. We're going to go to break. Think about that. Call in, and we're going to give away, I think we're going to give away a gift pack from our good friends at the Beacon Drive-In celebrating 50 years this year. So here we go to break.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild, cruising and playing the radio, with no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile, I was anxious to tell her the way I feel, so I told her softly and sincere.
The Maritime Museum is now offering programs that can be delivered in the classroom, library, boardroom, or just about anywhere else the class or group meets. It's called Museum Without Walls and features life and work aboard ship, three tales of women at sea, and immigration on the BC coast. All programs are delivered by museum staff. For information, call 385-4222, extension 106, or email programs at mmbc.bc.ca.
Good afternoon, it is. It's Al Ferriby and CFAX 1070. We're on location at the grand opening celebration of Target Self Storage at the new location here, which is 505 Tolmie Lane. That's just off Dublin. We're right between Douglas and Burnside. We'd love to see you come on by here today. Boy, if you're running out of that storage space, if you need those moving supplies and boxes, then you wanna take aim for Target Self Storage. It's Victoria's trusted storage specialist. Lots of people popping on by here today, and I'll give you a chance too if you pop on by to spin the wheel for some great prizes. We got some brand spanking new CFAX 1070 coffee mugs for you, pens, CDs, and a whole lot of other things that you can win instantly just by popping by and saying hi. You can do things like pay for 3 months and get a fourth month free. That's one of the things that you can think about as well. Lots of different storage sizes for you to choose from. If you're looking at getting rid of that clutter, this is the place to do it. We'd love to see you pop on by as grand opening celebrations continue today. It's at Target Self Storage. We're at 505 Tolmie Lane, just off Dublin, between Douglas and Burnside.
If you're a Mercedes-Benz owner or simply a fan of the brand, you're invited to the 6th annual garage sale at Three Point Motors today, 9 till 5. Get there early for great one-day-only prices and special incentives on new Mercedes-Benz and Smart. Spare parts, tires, accessories at below cost. Enter to win a weekend at Titomara. And for one day only, book your free fall service appointment. Get into the great garage sale atmosphere with some of the nicest people and cars. That's today at Three Point Motors, Government at Hillside.
News, sports, editorials, news polls, and much more. It's all just a click away. CFAX1070.com. CFAX1070.com.
Pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod. Have you heard the story of Hot Rod Race?
Again, for Susan Woods.
Setting the pace, set
today, we're talking about the history of auto racing here in Victoria with a member of the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame, Barry Rankin. We had a little trivia question before we went to break, and the question that we asked was, who was the first Victorian to drive at the Indianapolis 500? We're going to go to our caller on line one. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Who was the first person to drive at the Indianapolis 500 from Victoria?
I think Billy Foster.
I think you're absolutely correct, ma'am. Thank you very much for calling. Do you have any memories of the Western Speedway or going out there?
I don't know.
Certainly more of a male-dominated sport.
Right now.
Certainly more of a male-dominated sport. But thank you very much for calling in. We'll just put you on hold. Our producer, Greg, will pick up your information. That's right, the first person to drive at Indianapolis 500, because someone else had from Victoria had gone to Indianapolis previous to Billy Foster, but didn't have a chance to drive. Tell us that, Jerry.
Yes, that's right, Glenn. The catch in that question was to drive. A fellow named Eddie Kostanuk went to Indianapolis before Billy Foster. I'm not sure what the year was, but it was in the early 60s. He didn't get to race. He was either qualifying or practicing, and he got hit by a bird in the goggles. Didn't race. Went on to have a long career with the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, but Billy Foster was the first to race. Drove there 2 years. Drove in 1965. He was a rookie the same year Mario Andretti drove. Mario Andretti was the rookie of the year, and they became great friends. Billy raced the next year. He did not have good equipment. He ran a car out of Portland, Oregon. Then second year he ran for Jim Robbins, who manufactured seat belts, and of course was tragically killed at Riverside in a NASCAR stock car race. Did win some stock car races, but never won in the Indy cars. Just didn't have enough time. He was just coming into good equipment, and I don't think there's any doubt Billy Foster would have been a winner.
Now, that's, you know, going to Indianapolis, that's a big deal. Like, you keep having to, I keep referencing back to this. We're an island off of the mainland, and we've got people coming from here going to world-class racing. Like, what is, tell us about the undertaking, the preparation it would take for somebody to be able to race Indianapolis. This is an amazing achievement.
Well, you had to be good, and Billy Foster was, of course, racing on the modified circuit. He won races. He won all over the Northwest. Reg Midgley was instrumental in getting him involved there. Jeff Vantright, another name we can't forget that went to Indianapolis and involved with Billy Foster was a Chinese fellow named Grant King. Became a very famous car builder in later years, and he stayed back in Indianapolis as well. But no, it was tough to get there. And a tougher to win.
Wow, and a pretty big field. And, of course, after its changes over the last few years, it seems to have come back even more popular than ever, the Indy 500. So just fantastic stuff and great history you've been bringing us here today. Barry, there's also other pretty famous people that have raced out of here over the years. And tell us a bit about some of the other ones, some of the bigger names that have done well in the sport.
Well, of course, we touched on Dave Cooper, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He raced in the early years, raced stock cars, raced big cars, raced some NASCAR, raced over at Westwood, is now gone, raced at Riverside, California, raced on some of the old one-mile dirt tracks. But that was a different era. But he was a good driver. Roy Smith, the late Roy Smith, raced at the Daytona 500, finished 10th there 1 year, and that was a tough field to crack. When you go to Daytona, you put the throttle down to the floor and you leave it there. You had to have equipment. He went in the Pride of Victoria, local sponsorship, finished 10th, raced out of Seattle for a fellow named Bob Beadle, won the NASCAR West Championship several times. Is inducted into our Auto Racing Hall of Fame here, the Canadian Auto Racing Hall of Fame, and a Stock Car Hall of Fame out of California. Another good driver out of here, Gary Kershaw, won the Permatex 200 at Riverside, California. Won up here NASCAR races in the Northwest. Won over 20 main events in a row 1 year at Western Speedway. Could not beat this guy. And the other top name that comes to mind, he's probably won more races than any other driver at Western Speedway. Won throughout the Northwest. Local guy, Roy Haslam, third generation of Haslams now racing at the Speedway. But they're some of the top drivers.
Okay, that's a real overview. We've got a guest on the line that wants to chat with you. His name is John. Hello, John.
Yes, hello there.
You got a question for our guest today?
Yeah, no, I have a little story. I rode with Billy Foster once. Our friend lived on Grange Road, and he got a new Studebaker Avanti, a standard shift, and he had it all souped up. And anyway, Billy wanted to try it out. So I sat in the back seat. They even had seat belts in it. But boy, we had a ride with Billy, I tell you that. He just zipped along into Urban Road there, like, you know, around the bends and just, you know, really put the thing through its paces. But, yeah, the car was beautiful, but holy cow, when you ride with him, boy, you're hanging on.
That sounds like he was quite the driver.
Yeah, he did drive, like they say, close to the edge most of the time. That was just the way he was. You know, everything had to, he knew exactly how to handle it, but it was just, it was kind of a, I'll never forget that. I was only about 17 at the time, but it was quite a ride with Billy and that, going under that underpass there by Interurban, you know?
You betcha.
Zipping around there and up Burnside and all over the place.
Well, John, thank you very much for calling in and sharing that story with us. John, we're going to put you on hold because I've got something for you. I'm going to give you a gift pack from the Beacon Drive, and that was a great story. So our producer, Greg, will take down your information. Thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, Billy Foster. Now, you've got a Billy Foster story about driving maybe on the roads with a race car that shouldn't have been on the roads as well, too, don't you, Barry?
It was a bit common in those days. Yeah, Billy drove the car home from a garage downtown. I think it was to Grant King's place out on McRae. Cops chasing him. He did a couple of turnarounds in the middle of the road and got the car home in the garage. The police arrived, and no, we weren't driving it on the street, just warmed it up here in the driveway.
Oh, you guys are something else. But, oh, so much fun and so many great, great stories. So the track these days, it's kind of nice because you can go out there, and they've got an actual Hall of Fame set up there. We can go and see exhibits and learn a bit more about the history of the track. Tell us about that. I think it's just reopened this season, and tell us more about what's in there.
Well, it is open on some nights at the Speedway, not every night. A lot of times when the sprint cars run, and of course we do have the Hall of Fame induction ceremony in February each year, and everybody's welcome to that. That's where a lot of the stuff is on display. But yeah, the Willies have been gracious enough. Of course, the Willie family owns Western Speedway. Gave the Hall of Fame a spot in the old museum building. There's a lot of stuff on display, a lot of memorabilia. They'll try to have a Hall of Fame person there one night. I know Digger Odell came out one night early in the year. Dave Cooper was in there one night taking people around. There's a lot of old pictures, old trophies, old motors, two or three old cars. We don't have a lot of room for cars, but the old yellow car that Billy Foster drove, that Haslam owned, is in there. And if you ever went to the Mount Doug Hill Climb, Foster raced this car up the Mount Doug Hill Climb and beat everybody. And it was a sports car race with some pretty fancy cars out there. They looked at this thing and thought, what's it doing here? Well, they found out when he went up the mountain.
So everybody thought that they had these great European cornering machines that would beat anything going up the mountain, and Billy showed up and proved them wrong.
Oh, yeah, there was a Jag there that the doors opened up into the roof and sounded like $1 million. And he held it off up that mountain, and they just sat there and looked. And this was an old crate.
Because they had, I remember the hill climbs on the back of Mount Doug when they used to have the old motorcycles would race up the back of Mount Doug. And I remember watching Red Shanks, who owned Brooklyn Motorcycles, who was the on 4th Street. He was the original Harley-Davidson dealer in Victoria, go racing up there. And that was quite a sight. But I never thought about the other side and going up and watching auto racing. That must have been some kind of fun. So other racetracks around town, any other ones? You talked about Sharing Speedway there for a while, and that was a real short-lived one, wasn't it?
Sharing Speedway wasn't long. It was between Lankford Speedway. The fellow's name actually that built it was Sharing. Of course, it closed down at Western because nobody wanted to go up Island after Western opened, so I think it probably ran for 3 or 4 years. I personally didn't get to go to it, and then Western came along, and Western just finished its 55th year.
55 years.
There's a lot of other stuff at the Speedway now. There's go-karts. They build a motocross track for motorcycles out off the backstretch. There's lots of things that happen out now. The police rent the track. That's where they train their motorcycles and some of their drivers. It's a busy place.
Yeah, because it's zoned recreational, but it sounds like it's always being used, you know, certainly as from a family entertainment point of view. And you make a good point about the police training and the motorcycles out there. There's all sorts of motorcycle and car training that goes on out there. You don't see, of course, as the tracks close during the week, but you can certainly, if you went up there, you'd see all these people going through the paces and learning how to operate vehicles safely. And I think it's just great that... It's become such a part of the community and so diversified in its use that everybody takes advantage of coming out there and the great space. I've got to tell you, I went out to a race this year. You were there that night, and boy, oh boy, I hadn't been in a couple of years, and it's just amazing the energy that's still out there. I remember going out as a young kid and stuff, but you know, I don't think it's one of those things that will ever kind of go away. You know, there's lots of people who come in and out of racing, but racing itself just seems to be one of those things that's ingrained into our history. It's certainly a part of our Victoria culture. So, you know, I gotta say thanks to Barry for coming in this afternoon and having a visit with us. It's been great having him here. Now, we're going to be coming in next Saturday at 1 o'clock again and filling in for Susan Woods. Remember When is the show, and it was sponsored by the Maritime Museum of British Columbia. Our producer this afternoon is Greg Forsberg. And we want to thank you all for listening. Have a safe afternoon, and bye for now.
Imagine your next event held in an 1889 courtroom at the Maritime Museum. Rent the courtroom, complete with judge's bench, prisoner's dock, and witness stand, for groups of up to 75 people. The reading room with a nautical flair is available for 15 people, and the entire museum is available for stand-up receptions, business meetings, lectures, seminars, and small private dinner parties. For information, call 385-4222, extension 102.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Al Fierby on CFAX 1070. We're on location to grand opening celebrations at Target Self Storage. This is the new location, one of two downtown locations, and the new one is here at 505 Tolmie Lane. We're just off Dublin between Douglas and Burnside. And if you are thinking of maybe doing a move, for example, and you need to get rid of all your clutter, or maybe you're just downsizing, or maybe it's just time to do it because you're running out of space, then why don't you pop on by here today, talk to the people here at Target. They've got 45 different sizes to choose from as far as how much space you need for storage. You can do all that and more. Think of what you need, and they'll answer it for you here. Plus, a great deal. You can pay for 3 months and get that fourth month free. Think about that today. Spin the prize wheel for great prizes. We've got the brand new CFAX 1070 mug, CDs, pens, a whole lot of things that you can win just by popping on by and saying hi to us today. As grand opening celebrations continue today at Target Self Storage, their new location. Come on by and see us at 505 Tolmie Lane, just off Dublin between Douglas and Burnside.
Camino Carpets, rolling out the savings for you every day.
Flashy showrooms at high prices, that's not what you're looking for. Big box stores with little service and limited selection, forget that. Locally owned Camino Carpets is your floor covering solution. Check out their large selection of in-stock and custom order carpets, lino, tile, laminate, hardwood, area rugs, and more.
Camino Carpets, low on glitz, big on savings.
You'll find great prices and all your floor covering at Camino Carpets, 3948 Quadra Street in the old winery across from Lumberworld.
A CD copy in MP3 format of this CFAX program is available at a cost of $20, including all taxes. To order, call us at 250-386-1070 during business hours, or order online on our talk show schedule page at CFAX1070.com.
Psychological and emotional richness of characterization. The Private Patient by P.D. James is a credible and exciting mystery. It's available at Bolin Books Hillside Center.
Is CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority.
Sunshine, clear skies today, highs up to 13 degrees. Right now, downtown Victoria, we're sitting just over 12 degrees. Good afternoon, I'm Adam Sterling, and this is the CFAX 1070 2 o'clock news update. Begin with news out of the mainland. Police still trying to put together exactly what happened after a Vancouver woman in her 20s died this morning. Another man put in the hospital in critical condition after an explosion on the fifth floor of an apartment building in East Vancouver. Vancouver Police Department homicide detectives are still at the scene at last word. Police say a man was seen running from the building right after the explosion. Investigators are